Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. This is a special international edition of the show. Stone, what do you think of that?
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun, but I am just plain worn out. This is like, what, the third or fourth show that we've done today. We started early. We've had a bunch of guests on every show. I've had a blast, but, you know, I'd be a good hour, hour and a half into my nap time by now.
I know. You're not used to working this late in the afternoon.
This is going to be fun stuff, and I really am looking forward to it, but it's all Jeff Hanna's fault.
That's right. It was his idea to do this.
It was his idea to do this, and you know how this all came about. Remember that great big keynote address that I described
to
you?
At the Metro Chamber.
At the Metro Atlanta keynote address. I met Jeff briefly. We had a chance to talk. We got him in the studio. We learned a lot about his organization. Nuance International. We got a chance to learn a little bit about the relationship with Gillison. And bada boom, bada bing, here we are. We got people from all over the world. So this is going to be a lot of fun. So please welcome back to the Business Radio X studio, if you would, our good buddy, Jeff Hanna. Welcome to the show, man.
Hi, Stone. Thank you for having me.
We are delighted to have you. You bought a new sport coat since I saw you last?
Or absolutely.
Is that just a show for the big guys across the pond?
It works really well for the radio program.
So what have you been up to since we saw you last?
Well, we're working on all sorts of exciting projects coming up in the near future, some here in Atlanta and some other parts of the world, doing some proposals for some larger companies around the world. So it's been an exciting time.
Now, you started out here doing work in America, but then your firm started doing then international work, and then it was purchased by another company. Is that what happened?
That's right. We have been working. Our focus has been international for some time, and we were acquired in February of 2011 by Gillison Interiors and Exhibitions, and excited to be part of a much bigger team now. With offices in different parts of the world. So we were able to get Bart Wigman here with us today. He happens to be in Atlanta for some strategic planning that we're having and looking at how we're operating over the next several years. So he's in the studio with us today.
Welcome to the show, Dr. Wigman.
Well, thank you very much. You could leave away the doctor, by the way. Just call me Bart.
Well, we are glad to have you, Bart.
Is that
a long flight? When did you get in?
I did have a long flight, but that was because I tripped into Korea first. So I flew from Amsterdam to Korea on Sunday and left Korea on Tuesday and arrived here yesterday. So, it's been a long flight. Yeah.
So now, what was your thinking of working with Jeff? What was the alignment there?
You know, we've all been asking ourselves.
We are live on the radio. So I better be careful. To be serious, I've known Jeff for a very long time. And actually, we were working on getting American clients who have projects all over the world and get them to work with us. And obviously, then you need local people to really talk to the local companies. And that's when Jeff approached us, and we from one came the other, and we said, well, let's really make it the future together.
And then so that helps you kind of get a foothold here in America?
Yes, it absolutely helps, because obviously people want to talk to people of their own culture. We do the same in Germany, we do the same in Belgium, we do the same in Abu Dhabi. You need to have local people on board, and Jeff is obviously doing a good job, has been in the industry for a very long time, and that helps a lot. Yep.
But, you know, Americans are different. They're crazy, right? Yeah. I mean, they really are different. Speak to that a little bit, if you will, Jeff.
Because the cultural differences, that's an important...
Yeah, well, we do really have to focus on doing cross-cultural business, because there's an American way of doing business, just like there's a German way of doing business and a Dutch way of doing business. And so oftentimes we find that clients are really inexperienced when it comes to doing work overseas, and they go to trade shows and they really don't understand a lot of the things that they need to understand to do an effective job marketing themselves and just transacting business in those cultures. So we do a lot of seminars and training in various aspects of the industry on understanding the various cultures which they're working in, how to understand how to relate to them and how to deal with them, looking at collectivism versus individualism and egalitarian societies versus hierarchical societies and things like that. So it's a lot that goes into...
We haven't had words that long on this show in a long time. But these are fundamental differences in mindset and the way people operate, and you can really... cost yourself a lot of money if you don't approach these things properly, yes?
Guess so. And it's more than just costing money. You lose everything you have and just don't get the results. And, of course, that, like Jeff's saying, it's different everywhere. I just mentioned I got out of Korea. Obviously, the Korean way of doing business is completely different. We were talking to a major electronic Korean company doing business here in the States, actually, having an exhibition. And then we try to make the combination of the best of all worlds and make sure that it's effective here. And that is different from the Korean way, logically. So you got to know what you're doing.
Now, does that help, like, the multinational company that has presence in different countries, that you're able to now offer kind of boots on the ground in all these different areas to help them kind of seamlessly do exhibitions wherever they are?
Yes, absolutely. So if they're exhibiting in Germany, we have our German officers who can tell them exactly how to do it there. Yep.
So the trade show world, that's a foreign country to us for all intent and purposes. We've been at it, what, maybe a little over a year, year and a half. We've gotten to do, take the show to different trade shows, and we're learning. But that, too, is a whole different way. It has its own set of rules about how to work with people, too, doesn't it? Do you guys offer some counsel and guidance to your clients in how to really make the most of that kind of thing?
Yeah, we do, actually, because trade shows are different everywhere you go around the world, so things are done differently, and they, again, take an American mindset oftentimes and use the same terminology and expectations of how to do an exhibit in Europe, let's say, and they don't realize that, well, there is a need maybe in this show hall or this situation to have a raised platform, where you might not have that in the U.S. It's not very common, and vice versa. We have foreign companies coming in two shows in the U.S., and they might want to do something that they normally do in their home country, which would be seen as quite unusual or different here. So we knowing how it works in both areas or in all of those different areas, we can advise our clients accordingly. So we kind of have to focus on the construction aspects of it as well as the client engagement. Hospitality is an important issue. In Europe, people want to get to know one another and sit down and have a coffee and have a snack or whatever before they're transacting business. And it's not quite the same how it works here in the U.S. where you want to swipe somebody's business card and move on.
So is that when you're working with, especially I would imagine, like a new exhibitor, is that part of the counsel that you have to kind of hold their hand a little bit? Maybe they're not aware of the nuances of this?
Yeah, we do.
That was subliminal.
Thank you. Welcome. We do have clients, some that are seasoned, that have been working around the world quite a bit. And so obviously we work with them on a different way. And then we have the newbies, the people that are just learning how to exhibit.
Right.
And
but you could, I would imagine, cut their learning curve dramatically.
Oh, yeah.
Like
absolutely.
They've never exhibited in Germany and they go to you know, you already know kind of best practices of how to get the most out of them.
Absolutely. We have two offices in Germany and certainly we can help them, not only from here, but we can bring in the German team.
Yeah, we've been building international stands all over the world for 75 years.
Now,
so we've seen it all happen.
75 years.
75
years.
So
here's an example right there, just a little nuance right there. They call them, we learned this last time Jeff was on the air, the terminology is stands versus booths, right?
We do often call them
stands.
There
you go, about differences, as simple as that.
But a little thing like that gives you that much more credibility when you're trying to talk to some guy like Peter, right?
Yeah.
Now, can you talk 75 years ago, what was the business like then? How'd you guys get started?
Yeah, well, obviously I wasn't there yet, but it started as a very small family business, actually building some houses, doing some construction work. And in the 50s and the 60s, it got into exhibitions, basically because the exhibition industry was then coming up. There wasn't anything before that. And Gillissen stepped into that specifically with the export promotion of the Dutch government. Obviously, after war, everyone wanted to grow and needed to grow and needed to export. And there were an awful lot of exhibitions going on all over the world. And there were Dutch pavilions there. And we started working there. So from that moment on, actually, we have our international experience. And that grew. And, over the year, I started with Gillissen in 84. And over the years, we started an interior business as well and expanded international, and that's where we are now.
So then it was under your watch that you started acquiring firms in different countries?
Yes, that is true.
Yep. So you made that pivot from being just kind of a Dutch company that's doing everything out of the Netherlands to kind of just putting people in the places wherever the activity is?
Yes, exactly. We came across the effect that you need to have local knowledge anyway. And you need to have local people to address local people to work to get you as a client. So we needed an offices. So that's where we started. Yeah.
Well, now, I want our listeners to know this is not a pipe and drape outfit. When these people are talking about building out a stand, describe if you would some of the projects you've been on.
It's got all kind of variants, of course, big and small. But yes, you're right. We're building project, which is $1 million. Project, and we're basically building a real construction thing, which can include a first floor, steel construction, whatever. So it can be massive and very big. And please keep in mind, we do that in normally, I would say, 5 or 6 days. So we're building a $1 million house in 6 days, which in theory, of course, is impossible. but we do it more or less every day. And that's what we do. So it's real massive things. Yeah, it's got nothing to do with pipe and drape. By the way, typically an American thing, which doesn't occur anywhere else in the world.
Really? Yeah. Now, what are some of the things you're most proud of?
Yeah, there are a lot of projects. But one of the, well, if you're talking about bigger projects, we've done Ferrari World in Abu Dhabi, which is a real interesting project and very massive. So that's been a lot of fun. We did a couple of projects on the Expo in Korea, which just closed down a month ago. And that's been special projects too. And, well, I could go on and on and on. We've done exhibitions on a boat sailing around the Middle East and going from one place to the other, which, of course, is a very special event. And, well, there are loads of those things.
Now, are you coming up with the idea, or are they coming to you, hey, can you execute this?
It's
a combination?
It could go both ways, actually. Yeah, we get clients coming in, well, I think about exhibiting in, let's say, Moscow, and I think about taking 100 square meters, 1,000 square feet, and what should I do? And then we start from scratch. We got other companies going in with a rough idea and saying, well, we want about this, and can you build that, and how are we going to do that?
Has it become one of these things where every year you got to kind of top yourself?
Yeah, you have to, you want to, and that's the fun part of our business too. You need a client who has ambition too, because if you got that, you can come to the next step. We've built this place for Volvo, for example, which basically were a crash display. So you know those crashes they do with cars in the factory.
Right.
We've rebuilt that on an exhibition booth, and he came to us. Well, we want to do that, and the first thing we said, okay, and now what? We figured it out that if you wouldn't take measures, there would be so much pressure on the display that we would end up in the stand next door, which was Mercedes, which was kind of fun, but not really the idea. Yeah. So you got to figure out all those kind of things, and that's the fun. Yeah, you got to go to the next step every time again. It's a marketing instrument, and marketing got to improve every time.
I'm just fascinated at the whole prospect of expanding an organization to reach the different corners of the world, but to continue to do it effectively. It's a part of our dream. We believe we can replicate this business and be in every corner of the world and serve the business community in a variety of cultures.
True.
I'm interested to learn more about how you guys work together day to day, week to week. There must be a tremendous amount of trust, and you must have systems in place. Both of you, please speak to that a little bit about how you guys work together.
Right. Well, let me give it a start. And yeah, you're saying the right thing. The first thing is trust, because otherwise you don't want to have a situation where I followed Jeff hour per hour, day to day. That will not happen. So they got to be trusted Jeff doing what he's doing, that the other companies are doing what they're doing. And at certain points, they come to me or other people in the company and saying, well, could you help me here? I got this idea. Can it be done? Whatever. So find help within the company. And then we got an awful lot of knowledge. And that's how it goes. So it's not that I control everything on a day-to-day basis. I can't, and I don't want to, and that's not the business model at all. You need entrepreneurship from the managers as well as from the account management or the project managers. They come across a lot of things. You can imagine if you build an exhibition, things always happen. There's always something going wrong somewhere.
Right. You got to be able to think on your feet, right?
And they got to do that themselves. It's not me.
Problem solve, right.
And if something is in trouble, they work a couple of extra hours and just continue, because it's got to be done. It's got to be ready. Be aware. The exhibition opens on a date, whether we're ready or not. It'll open. And our client does have a problem if we're not ready.
But so philosophically, everybody has to be aligned, and you're not micromanaging how everything gets done, as long as everything gets done.
No. So that's once in a while we have meetings like that Jeff and I are having these days, saying, okay, what's the next step? How are we going to go forward? And after that, it's Jeff to do it.
Right.
So the local organization to do it, because they're in the middle of it. Jeff knows a lot more about the American industry and the market than I do.
Well, we're working right now on aligning our vision so that we're on the same page. And Bart does give us a good bit of leeway in terms of how we're going to execute that vision. But
right.
We have to be on the same page. And yes, having the understanding and having worked together in the past, we have a good understanding of working across cultures. So not only with the Dutch and the American, we have Germans, we have people from the Middle East and the UAE working for us. So we have a very cross-cultural company. And so we do have to all kind of understand and have some basic foundational values of respect and trust and things like that. But there are differences. I mean, the Dutch tend to be very direct, and we just understand that. We tend to be...
Is that true, Bart?
I haven't got a clue what he's talking about, really. But I'll talk to him later.
Right. We tend to be very talkative, and so we say a lot of things, mm-hmm. and they want to get to the bottom line often. Okay, that's enough talk. Let's get down to it. Yeah.
So I want to bring the chamber guy into this conversation.
Absolutely.
So please welcome to the studio. I'm going to give it a shot. You know,
go for it.
Nothing venture.
He's very direct, so he'll tell you.
Right.
President yeah, be careful.
Of Netherlands American Chamber of Commerce, Peter van der Toorn.
Very good.
There you
Absolutely.
Go. Welcome to the show,
well, thanks.
Man.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
So this must be exciting for you to see an actual, here's the companies from
cool.
the Netherlands and America joining forth. This is exactly what you're charged to do, right?
It is. It is. And I have to say, these guys are members. So thank you, Jeff, of course. There. Yeah, I mean, they in very many ways kind of embody what a chamber is there to do.
Sure.
Is support companies finding each other, directing Dutch companies in how to do business in Atlanta. And yes, the Dutch are much more direct.
I mean, the
easiest, you know, I've spent half my life in Holland and half my life in the United States, so I've got a pretty good, you know,
right.
view on both sides of the ocean on this. And on the cultural thing that you mentioned earlier, I mean, the best example I can give you is imagine explaining college football to
right.
somebody from Europe for the first time, you know, the SEC.
You know? Don't even try. If
you're going to do business in Atlanta, eventually, you know,
that's
Georgia
come
Tech
up.
Or
gonna
you
come
know,
up.
Georgia is going to come up. So those are interesting conversations mm-hmm. to have. Our job is to make doing business for Dutch companies in Atlanta easier and to hook folks up with the right network and the right resources to do things faster and be successful. You need really good partners here, whether it's law firms, whether it is accounting firms, whether it is folks that focus on temporary space. So when a small company comes here for the first time, it's not so difficult. You can take the barriers away, and
right.
that's what a chamber by and large.
So where do
does.
The wheels come off when somebody from another country tries to come into the United States, or maybe it's the same going in the other direction? Where do the wheels come off when they do? Is it the legal stuff? Is it the banking stuff?
I mean,
is it saying something stupid that offends him?
Legal before banking, yeah. The legal differences between, for instance, Holland and the U.S. are significantly larger than, I would say, the banking differences.
Mm-hmm.
How you go to market, I think Jeff talked about that, is a real challenge. The language isn't. For the Dutch people, English obviously is not a problem.
You're doing a fantastic job.
Well, thanks. I've been here long enough that I've lost my Queen's English, but I can do y'all as well as anybody. You guys were mentioning trade shows before. I mean, one thing that is different, for instance, here is trade shows in the U.S., particularly in the last 10, 15 years, have added the dimension that you can best describe as speed dating, where you no longer have just a booth, but you get the opportunity to get 10 minutes with 10 or 15 companies you define going in advance to tell your story.
Right.
Doesn't happen very often in Europe. So if you're a Dutch company and you say, I want to maximize this opportunity that I have, well, speed dating is part of that.
And they
you got to explain it because it's different.
Right, and that must be hard to get their arms around 10 minutes. And they're used to building relationships slowly over time. And you're like, you got 10 minutes, make this happen.
And you got 10 minutes with people that
are complete strangers.
That at minute 11 are going to leave you.
Right.
They're not waiting for the punchline. The
right.
punchline better be there. Early on in the conversation.
Right. And so you can help them kind of make that transition a little easier.
Yeah. And on the flip side, we benefit at the same time from our members, from Jeff and his experience and his contacts.
Mm-hmm.
That is just as important to us than kind of the directions we can give to those companies.
I can tell right now, without Jeff, the whole opera falls apart.
I can see
apart.
That.
The guy is the linchpin. Now, you're pulling double duty. You also are like a grand poobah out there at Interface Four Systems.
That is true. Interface is a Atlanta-based company
mm-hmm.
That acquired a Dutch company in the 80s that I worked for. I ended up here for what was supposed to be like a two-year deal and never went back, kind of, sort of. And we do modular carpet. We're the largest manufacturer in the world of modular carpet, operate in a little over 100 countries and manufacture around the world. And probably our biggest signature projects in Atlanta right now are the two most recent international concourses at the airport, E and F.
Oh, wow.
So if you're walking on carpet in those two concourses, it's Interface. And yeah, we're
okay,
very
proud
of that.
Okay, now modular carpet, is that so that if I have a really bad spill or something, you can grab that?
Heck yeah, absolutely.
I like
it is the fastest growing, probably the only growing category in carpet, because the world is going modular. Right. Even in an office, if you think about it, creative spaces, team spaces, different layouts, changing layouts is the way offices are working, and so the product is a natural fit for that. But also in
buses,
yeah, and Bart's business, you know, exhibition space is as modular a space as you can think of. So and it's an Atlanta-based company, and it's the market leader in most of the companies it operates in.
Now, as your role in the chamber, is it more of helping Dutch companies kind of come here, or is it helping companies here go into the Netherlands?
No, it is really the former. It is Dutch companies coming here. We have, in most larger cities in the U.S., you have really three organizations that focus on the Netherlands American business community. It's typically a consul or an honorary consul, or the embassy in D.C., obviously. And then you have something called the Netherlands Foreign Investment Agency. They handle the U.S. to the Netherlands side of the transaction.
Right.
And they are really the experts on what's the tax system in Holland. What do you need to know as a U.S. company to be successful? And why would you go to Holland versus Ireland or another part of Europe? We almost exclusively handle the inbound part of this. But it only works if those three entities work closely together. And I'm really happy with how those three entities work in Atlanta.
Now, so can you give us an example how companies in the Netherlands, they're thinking about, you know, doing business here in America? What's their process? There's somebody there in the Netherlands, I'm sure they reach out to?
Yeah, I mean...
And then they reach out to, I guess there's people like you all around America?
It obviously goes, yes, there are. And we have chapters in most of the major cities in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe best way to illustrate it is a very recent a Dutch company that just came to Atlanta. It's called Lighthouse IP, and they are a tech company, software company. And their specialty is intellectual property. They looked for an Atlanta base. Atlanta has a pretty good reputation in technology and in software, has a relatively low cost of operating compared to New York, for instance.
Sure.
So we get the call from somebody that says, hey, we're looking at Atlanta. We're going to start as a one-man or two-person operation. How would you go about it? And that's fairly common. And then our job is to say, okay, we can get you some... started with some temporary space if that's what you need. We'll get you with the right people that from a legal and from an accounting perspective, from a banking perspective, that if you are a one-man, one-woman job or organization, we'll get you off the ground without having reinvent the wheel all the time.
But now, isn't there like kind of some subtleties to this? Like if they have their family, like you want them in a good school district or... a private school or...
And I'm really glad you're mentioning that, because that's a biggie. I mean, particularly
right, because
in Atlanta.
If the spouse isn't on board, that
hey,
could
baby,
kill the
mama
whole deal,
ain't
right?
happy, nobody's happy.
couldn't say it any better.
That translates in every language. I know that.
So the good thing is there's a Dutch school here in Atlanta called the Molenweg, and that is a very big peace of mind for a Dutch executive that comes here with small children. You know, because the teachers speak Dutch, it is one thing. It's just another bit of peace.
More
of
comfortable,
mind.
You know,
very, very much more comfortable.
So that's part of what your job is kind of show them the lay of the land here in town, and you know, this is where I shop. This is where you know the school, the mall, those kind of things too, right?
It's not just like
this is how you're going to do business. There's
no
the work life balance thing.
Think about how do you make somebody's life easy and comfortable and take that stress out of moving from one country to the next.
Right.
Out of it to the greatest extent possible.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, the man's selling peace of mind.
And
apparently doing a really good job.
In my spare time.
In my spare time. Modular carpet and peace of mind. So tips, tricks, things are really things. It's not fair to call them tips and tricks. I mean, let's call them what they are. They're strategies, and they warrant some genuine forethought. strategies for making sure that you get most out of relationships with the chamber and with people on either side of an effort like this? Are you consistently trying to stay in touch with these guys? What do you do, Jeff, to keep all these gears moving?
Well, I think you get out of it what you put into it. And so as we participate in events that they have, you had a golf tournament yesterday. Unfortunately, we had a bit of a delay because Bart was intending to be there but had to go to Korea for a business presentation, a large project. But those kind of things. So you get out of those kind of networking communities what you put into it. And so there's a great group of people there. A lot of them are very high-profile members in the Dutch American Chamber. So they're good contacts, good connections from a networking standpoint. So I think
and that networking thing is so important. It's not a cultural difference. The Dutch, the Americans, I think, are the best networkers in the world. It comes natural to them. You know, it's if you're in sales, you're networking. Not so to the same extent in Holland, for sure. So you got to tell people, hey, if you want to be effective here, you got to get out there.
Right.
You got to get out there.
So now you have some initiatives, you have some things going on that help people get out there?
Yeah, we do breakfasts every 2 months. And that those breakfasts are there to, A, bring an interesting speaker, president of the Georgia Aquarium, somebody that you know is just good to have address your group, 30,
right.
40 people. But it is mostly the opportunity for networking, to get together and get people once again
right.
with service providers that they may not know.
And is there a network of the Dutch companies that are here in town? Do they hang out together? Is there stuff you're doing to facilitate that? That
the secret Dutch handshake?
Yeah. yes, there is one of those, of course. we're pretty good at the social piece, too. Yeah, Fado's in Buckhead has been kind of adopted as an Irish
That's
Dutch.
The official.
Yeah. Once a month or so, there's kind of a happy hour there to kind of, without an emphasis on business,
right.
get everybody together.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, Bart, when you're putting an itinerary together or you have somebody on your staff put an itinerary together, you know you're going to hit Korea, you know you're going to come over to the States. What are some things you try to build into that? Do you try to build some leisure in this relationship-building aspect to it? And do you also try to build in presentations and try to make sure you get a deal or two done? Or are you that strategic about it, or you just go have a good time and things fall into place?
No, it's not just about having a good time. although it is important. It's always. If you don't have a good time, it won't work in business either. No, but obviously you got to have your plans together and think about cultural differences and address that in a good way, which isn't always easy. Instead, I had this Korean thing going on. You can imagine we're doing this together with an advertising agency, and all presentations is in Korean.
Aye, aye, aye.
Exactly. And my Korean is
a
little rusty, is it?
Good question. Not that good. So there you go. You see the presentation, there's no reaction from the Korean client. None.
Even when they like it, right?
There is none. I haven't got a clue. But that's the way they do. It has nothing to do whether they like it or not. But you got to be prepared for that. And it's always difficult because I know they react like that. And still, it doesn't feel good. It's like I'm talking here to you and you just don't react. And I said, well, why doesn't he react on what I'm saying? Well, they don't. And that's it. We might have won, might have lost. I just don't know. But so you got to prepare for all those kind of things. And the same goes, of course, for if you got to come to the States, I got to prepare as good as I can, which I can partly. My English is reasonable enough, but I'm not American. Jeff,
you're a lot easier to understand than Lee.
Well, thank you. Well, Jeff and I had politics discussions, had religious discussions.
Oh, my.
Exactly.
And you're still working together.
Yeah, yeah. Which
we still came on the radio show even after that.
After that drive here, that long drive here, right?
Exactly. Yes. Well, in the drive up here, we wanted to change the subject to politics and things like that, but we didn't, so don't worry.
We talk about all the taboo things that you shouldn't talk about in business, about religion and all of that.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
But when you guys are working as closely together as you are, you have to be aligned. I mean, you may not have to agree on everything, but you have to philosophically align
yeah.
with the direction
sure.
of the company and where everything's
yes.
going, or else it's not going to work.
Of course, you get a point, and since we're working together and we know each other for a long time, makes it a little bit easier. But I could have exactly the same situation with a client where I suddenly make a remark about politics without being aware what the effect of that remark is.
Right.
Because we look at it at politics in a whole different way. We look at the whole situation in a whole different way. We look at the world in a different way, logically, than you do. Nothing bad or wrong or better, but it's different.
It's just different, right.
Exactly, and that you got to be aware of. And I guess most of the time I am, once in a while I'm not. But like Peter said, we're pretty direct, so I tend to react pretty direct, just automatically, and then think, oh, I better not.
So what's on the horizon for you guys at Ed Gillison? What's happening in the next
What's the next 75 years look like?
That you're allowed to talk about anyway.
Yeah, well, there's so many challenges, and it's so much fun to see that. We're now looking at the Middle East for a couple of major projects. I don't know if you're aware of that, but Saudi Arabia is building a massive amount of museums there in all kind of varieties, and we're looking into that, specifically an area which is a different place to work, talking about different cultures. That is a different culture in every respect. But there's a lot of challenge there, and that makes it fun. Again, talking about how do we get American clients to go to Europe in a better way? How can we help them there that they'll be more successful? How can we be all together that? So there are so many opportunities in this difficult economy because, of course, the European economy isn't very good. But it does give a lot of challenges and opportunities. So we'll just, try to keep the fun in it, too. And that's not every day always easy as for everyone. I guess you guys once in a while sit here too and think, well, I'd rather do something else. But I can't do anything else. I've been doing this since 84, and this is all I can. So I got no choice, and it's my company, so I can't run away.
Right. Well, I tell you, most days this is an absolute blast, and this is no exception. This has been a great deal of fun. Jeff, I'm glad you came up with the idea. Peter, you're here local. We got to have you back in here from time
Anytime.
To time. And bring some more members from the Dutch Chamber, give them a chance to talk about their business, and we'll learn more. And Bart, we can't thank you enough. You got to be dead tired after coming from Korea, but what a pleasure to have you in the studio. Come visit with
us. It's been a pleasure. I didn't get the time to fall asleep here.
Hey, listen, how about hanging out with us? In fact, all three of you would while we visit with our next guest, because we're going to talk to some folks with from the World Trade Center. Is that right?
Right, but let's go around and get their websites. And
absolutely. Let's get the coordinates. We'll start with you, Peter. What's the best way for folks to reach out and connect with you?
Probably the easiest way is on www.interfacefloor.com.
And then they can, if they are interested in learning more about the Netherlands, they can get you there too.
Yeah, that's. I think that's the easiest way to
you have to go through a sales call. No matter what.
You got
to
buy some carpet.
Buy some carpet. That's like the ante, right?
Yeah. I mean, the direct web address for it is NACCSE.com.
Okay.
For the chamber.
Cool.
Fantastic. Okay. And the offer is quite sincere. We got to get Peter back in here, man. This is fun stuff.
Anytime.
Jeff, coordinates?
Yes, nuanceinternational.com, NUANCEINTER, INTL for short, nuanceintl for short.com, or nuanceinternational.com. Both of them work. And then the Gillison website, which
is just gillison.com, and Gillison is GILISSEN.
Fantastic. And this year's winner of the Nicest Brochure Award.
That's right. Yeah, your brochure is very impressive.
When Jeff brought that thing in here, I mean, we show it off all the time. We proudly display the Gillison Gillison brochure.
We got to make a commission arrangement for you.
Well, thanks again, guys. Please hang out with us. We'll make the big switch and do the musical chair dance because we got some folks from the World Trade Center. You know, once we decided we were going to have this special edition, we knew Bart was going to fly in.
Right.
And we knew we could get Jeff back in. I didn't know we were going to get the modular carpet guy. That was a major bonus.
That was a bonus.
But, you know, when we have a need like that, we talk to the folks running our other studios. And we gave Dana Barrett a ring down there at the downtown studio. She said, yeah, man, you got to talk to Lilia. So reached out to Lilia, and she suggested that we get together with these folks. So I'll tell you what we're going to do in this segment. With your permission, Lee, we'll start by having Lilia introduce herself and talk a little bit about mission and purpose of the World Trade Center, and then we'll introduce our other guests, and then, you know, we got to get the story on the red vest. Sometimes I really do wish we had a camera here, but we'll get the red vest story here in a little bit. I'm not even going to try the last name. Welcome to the show, Lilia.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And but you go ahead and give it a shot, the last name.
Yes, it's Postolaki.
Nicely done. And World Trade Center, yes?
Yes, World Trade Center, Atlanta.
All right, so talk to us a little bit. What is mission purpose? What are you out there trying to do for folks?
Yes, I would like to start with the vision. World Trade Center Atlanta's vision is to champion the advance of global trade, investment, knowledge, and relationships in the international business community. And the mission is to enable our members to compete in the global marketplace by providing quality business services, innovative programs, and opportunities to build relationships.
That sounded official.
Yes.
Like approved. So yeah. What's the Lilia cocktail napkin? Hey, sweet what thing, what do you do for a living response? How does that one go?
Well, Walter Center Atlanta is a kind of truly unique places on the world map. We were established by John Portman on February 2nd, 1982, when nobody actually talked about international.
Just before imagine, international was cool.
Exactly.
Right? Imagine, was into this international
imagine the vision of this man. I highly respect and just impressed. Can never have enough of listening and reading of what he's been doing. And
so what's the problem we're solving here? What need are we meeting? Are we just getting good, smart folks like Bart and Jeff and Peter and Red Vest Guy and Rick and all? Are we just getting smart folks like this together so that we can help people? Or what's the problem we're solving?
Yes, the problem we're solving is that we're bringing the world together. World Trade Center Atlanta, like any other World Trade Centers, is the place where the world meets, because before international wasn't so popular, it wasn't so strong, nobody needed those relationships the way we need them now, and at that time it was still the concept of the association was to facilitate international business, and it was an idea of a building with the different offices for the bankers, the real estate agents, the logistic companies to facilitate international business. And this is pretty much what we do in Atlanta. We have a membership. We facilitate international trade. We do educational seminars on how to conduct business internationally, on the logistics, export, import, negotiation skills, many, many, many aspects. We host delegations from all over the world. For example, in August, we had a Thai delegation. On September 5th, we had Prime Minister of Macedonia with the Minister and a few other officials from Macedonia. This is how we introduce the other representatives of different countries. Then we do taste of the country, taste of Switzerland. We had taste of Canada. We had taste of Hungary. With the
Canada's and a taste.
Yes.
There's a taste of Canada.
Such a sweet
taste. I get the Thai. I get this. What's Canadian? What? Tell me.
Canadian bacon, maple syrup.
Oh wow.
Where have you been?
No, the ice wine, and ice the salmon.
And salmon. That's right.
Salmon.
So you're the World Trade Center is kind of like a central meeting place for everything international here in Atlanta. That's what you aspire to be.
A hub. Yes. Like it's one-stop shop. We provide facilities for those who would like to have meetings or to use our facility as their temporary office.
And then, so like say we want to move Business Radio X internationally, we can go there and get kind of a sample of all the different international opportunities all in one place?
Yes. First of all, you have to become a member.
Of course.
Yes.
There's always a check.
There's always
no matter what happens, there's always
a
check.
Membership has its privileges.
Exactly. And then you will be exposed to more than 300 World Trade Centers worldwide. You can use reciprocity. You will be introduced to their local networks. And you will not believe it, but the organization has created such a trustworthy community worldwide that I can, with my eyes closed, I can send you to Cairo World Trade Center, to Sao Paulo World Trade Center, to Moscow World Trade Center, and I know that you will be taken care of on the top level. I've done it. I've seen it.
So if I was a member and we're going to go to Brazil, you can set up meetings, or I can you can plug me right into the World Trade Center there.
Exactly.
And then somebody there will then kind of show me around and give me the kind of the lay of the land of.
I don't think people know this.
They do, actually. We've been with Dawn Ely here on the radio show, and she was the one who traveled with me and our other members last year to Sao Paulo World Trade Center.
Oh, really?
Yes, and Dawn had a really great experience for her business there.
That's incredible, but I mean, I didn't have a clue about this, but I don't guess
because
you
didn't know about us.
No, it's because I didn't know about you guys.
See that?
Red Vest guy's got to be sweating to death. Did you not pay the air? Is it not hot in here?
It's 5 o'clock. You know what happens
at 5 o'clock? Everybody turns off. Okay, it was kind of cute to begin. We got to quit calling him Red Vest guy.
Hey, why don't you introduce?
Would you introduce your guests, please, both of them?
Of course, it's my great honor and pleasure to introduce to you Rick Varenicki, our member and a great supporter of the different educational seminars he's been doing.
Little bit of real estate. We want to mention
that.
We want to mention that at some point.
Ackerman guy. Ackerman.
So you're with we'll go ahead and introduce the other guest too.
Yes, John Dixon is actually our guest from Washington, D.C., a good friend and a person who was a chairman and is for the World Trade Center Association. I don't remember which committee.
So, Committee on Peace and Stability Through Trade.
Oh, there you go.
Founded and developed that committee.
How's that working?
Fantastic.
Well, it's pretty awesome. That was the slogan of the association for 40 years, since it started in 1970. Uh-huh. Actually, before that, when the very first concept of World Trade Center was in New Orleans, that was the vision.
That was the first one?
The original one was in New Orleans. That was studied and by Guy Tozzoli, the guy that developed the Twin Towers in New York. Mm-hmm. And he created the association based on the vision that was represented there in a sole program, which was, as Lydia mentioned, a one-stop shop. They tried to co-locate all the agencies and companies involving international.
One central location.
Yeah, in one place, make it easy for folks.
And then you're the chair of the China Society right now?
Well, I'm also that. I just didn't have my other cards. The only one that had my name on it. I really apologize for that. But, yeah, and that's another association in Washington.
Man, there must be – folks need a lot of help on this front, don't they? You got the China Society, you got the consulates, you got the International Chambers of Commerce.
Well, that's what's great about it. That's what's great about America is everybody's here. The whole world is here, and it's just a matter of organizing that and taking advantage of their presence. And that's what Lilia can do here in Atlanta. And what she mentioned, the reciprocity is very, very important. A member of her World Trade Center goes to Sao Paulo or goes to Moscow and – they become a member of that World Trade Center right away. So you do have very qualified information. The folks there don't want to give you a lead that isn't going to be
right.
Have integrity.
But when you say reciprocity, what does that mean? Like here, okay, I have my business and whatever it is. Say I make bottled water and I want to go now to Moscow.
Right.
So now I'm a member, say, of the World Trade Center here, and now she's going to connect me with somebody in Moscow. So I go now to Moscow to this building, right?
Sure.
And now what is this person going to do for me?
Can I actually speak to that? Because I've done it. I do commercial real estate. We also do a little import-export, not Ackerman, but that's how I got into VP of International now. But I've taken advantage of the World Trade Centers, in particular in China. There's one in Shanghai. There's one in Nanjing. There's Hangzhou and other places. If you go to the one down here, it's in the basement of the – or the lower level, I shouldn't call it basement – of the SunTrust Tower, which is one of the most impressive buildings in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
When you go to Shanghai, they don't have that kind of shivy place. They got these really nice buildings. Okay? And China's kind of amazing. But when you go there, I can use their office space. Sometimes there's a little fee, sometimes there's not. You're overlooking usually the best parts of town. They will set you up with meetings in advance if you coordinate that in advance. You don't get somebody who just is at your disposal that day, but I'm coming, you know, in a month, and this is who I'd like to see. It's like a non-denominational international chamber of commerce. So if you say I want to do – the example I used with Dana Barrett was left-handed smoke shifters. They will hook you up with all these people who have interest in left-handed smoke shifters, but you don't waste your time on a very expensive trip overseas. And then you sit down in one of the nicest facilities in the world with these people who are helping you do what you do. They'll assist you with translation, et cetera. So the way you come across to that man in China or Moscow or wherever you go is significantly different than if you meet him at the Starbucks over there.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's all about relationships. Everybody knows, everybody in this room for sure knows. And this kind of helps you fast forward these relationships, right?
Absolutely. Well, yes and no. It puts you in contact. Then when you're doing international business, and I'm very jealous of the Dutch gentleman who only have to deal with Dutch gentlemen. You know, I'm doing this with many different nations. You still have to understand the cultures, and you still have to understand that cultural engagement. It is not actually so much about the language, although that is important, and you want to acknowledge you are on their turf by learning some of their language. But if you go into the kind of things I do, I have to talk about the thickness of a concrete floor and how it's going to support steel shelving when it's under vibration. I don't care how many phrases I learn in Mandarin, I'm going to need help with that translation. World Trade Center can assist me with that while providing the platform where I can worry about engaging in the culture and the, you know, the business at hand, what I have to do. So,
not only that, just one quick addition. For example, World Trade Center Atlanta has been doing a lot of trade missions, and in the last one we had about 20 Belarusian companies. They came twice last year, and after those meetings, one out of our members signed an agreement, and now she is exporting products, the groceries, food products from Belarus. And this is another additional business opportunity, and which you get through the World Trade Center Atlanta connections.
So how you guys got? How did you get involved in this? Did someone approach you and say, "Boy, you got to get in"? Because your job's membership, right?
Yes, and not only international. I'm the director for international department and membership. My job is to develop business, to bring business to the members, to bring the awareness about the World Trade Center Atlanta, to develop programs, to organize trade missions. It's pretty much a wide
This is a hard-working crowd. I mean, we got the guy, Flash from Korea, comes over here, hops on the radio show, doing his thing. She's holding down two jobs. Peter's holding down two jobs. You're out there trying to explain concrete. Man, you guys are hard. But my question is...
This is why we're here.
Yeah.
But can we talk a little bit about, maybe in a broader sense, part of your mission? I think you mentioned it about, you know, this kind of the diplomatic element of this. Mm-hmm. There's the more that everybody trades with one another, the more we kind of have to get along, right? It's hard
to get to know each other.
It's hard to, you know, be at war with people you rely on financially.
Absolutely.
Right? Isn't that a component of this?
Yeah, one of the first rules of business is you don't shoot your customer.
Right, that's a good rule.
You want them to be healthy and prosperous. So,
right?
So if you're engaging in another country, you definitely are looking out and hoping for the best for the people in that nation. And it builds linkages that are sustainable, not depending on a particular administration and changing after that and those strings. It's all win-win. And it's just it's the most misunderstood group of peace builders and, you know, or the business community.
Now, you've been doing this for a while. How have you seen this kind of trading improve relationships and, you know, maybe have peace sprout up? Have you seen that actually?
Well, see, you don't see it because there isn't conflict. that's what's interesting about it. For example, in, I think, 2002, India and Pakistan were going to have nuclear war. It was in the newspapers every day. And suddenly it wasn't in the newspapers anymore, but... Jimmy Carter didn't go there. There wasn't a UN peacekeeping force. And there was actually no explanation. But what happened was the private sector in India went to the government and said, "You're crazy. Even if we win this war, we blow Pakistan off the map. We don't have a single casualty. We're finished." Because all those companies that are headquartered right now, the back offices in India are going to go somewhere else and they won't come back. So don't even think about it. So there wasn't a nuclear war because of the business sector, the private sector.
But you don't think about that.
And nobody knows
about that.
But that's
not a headline.
No, it never will be. But those relationships are keeping stability and maintaining stability all the time. And they're natural and sustainable. And business folks, somebody mentioned earlier, the trust is really key. You can't start the business dance until there's trust. So you establish trust by getting to know, understand somebody, learning the culture, and all those things. So, and once you do that, you're committed to those people. You understand the people, and you realize they're just like us, and they have children just like I do, and they want the best for their kids.
Right.
Now, see, I'm a real estate agent. I don't know about all this goodwill stuff and what this has got to do with anything. So, I mean,
but you've been on one of these trips, right?
I've been on many of them. I was actually on Mayor Kasim Reed's trip to China, and my boss, Charlie Ackerman, was on his trip to England.
Oh, cool.
The World Trade Center and a lot of what we're talking about is actually all about economic development, okay? As part of a spinoff of those trips, and unfortunately it's not coming to Atlanta, but now I'm taking a Chinese company to Las Vegas, we're getting into a distribution center out there, which is creating jobs in America. It's big enough that it's going to involve American trucking, American salesmen, American hospitals. Can't tell you the details, and that's some of the problems with these things, but it is creating economic development there. There are several other ones that we're doing right here in Atlanta, but again, the challenge with these things sometimes is if I tell you who it is and what we're working on, then their phone rings off the hook, my phone rings off the hook, and the wheels come off the wagon, as you said earlier. But the World Trade Center is a non-denominational chamber of commerce, and it provides the platform for these meetings. It's all about trade, and it dovetails with the Metro Atlanta Chambers of Commerce with their efforts internationally. They have a whole international section. There's Global Gateway, which is Sandy Springs' international section of the chamber. I'm leading their trade mission to China in December. There is Invest Atlanta, which is the official wing of the Atlanta government that is all about, has a section that's about international trade. The governor's office does a phenomenal job. I love Mayor Reed and I love the governor right now, both because they think of outside their limits, outside of the Georgia boundaries and outside of the city limits of Atlanta. Savannah is the second largest, or is one of the fourth largest port in the country, but with Brunswick, it's the second largest shipping. That's one of the reasons our economy is booming. A lot of people, man on the street, don't realize they're going to deepen the port of Savannah to take advantage of the widening of the Panama Canal, which affects the price of your TV in Georgia. But nobody thinks of it that way, but that's exactly what goes on. We've got the highway system. We got the rail system. We've got the port of Savannah. So the products coming in, you want to relate it down to the man on the street? That he'll understand when the ship gets in the queue 100 miles out in the ocean, it's faster to go through Savannah to the shelf in Kentucky than any other port in the United States.
Wow.
To the international company, that's a big deal, okay? Our airport, busiest airport in the world, I travel. I want to put a sharp stick in my eye when I got to go down to an airport. But if you're an international company, you can wake up in Atlanta at 7 in the morning, take a business meeting anywhere in North America, and actually be home that night. In that rich an economic market, you cannot do that anywhere else in the world, okay? That means to the international company, as these Dutch guys, they have to have half as many salesmen. That's a big factor to an international company, okay? If you want to do that in North and South America and include Brazil in that, you can do it in a day and a half. Anywhere else in the world, that's 2 days or 3 days. So that means savings. That's all economic growth for Atlanta.
I think Mayor Kasim Reed needs to hire you.
No, he's very pro-business, Mayor Reed.
Yeah,
he really is.
Now, can you talk a little bit about the company maybe here in town that has never done any business internationally? Is it wise to kind of join the World Trade Center and just to get the kind of education needed just
definitely
to even consider doing that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I wanted to have the understanding that we're not only working internationally or with international companies. A lot of our members are local companies, small to medium size, which would like to expand their business locally. They don't want to go internationally yet. And our purpose here is to show them opportunities within the United States. We have about 90 World Trade Centers within the United States. We help them. We do marketing for our members through the LinkedIn, through the Twitter, Facebook. We have the monthly newsletter, and we arranged for them presentations if they wanted to present their product or services. And this is how we support our local companies and our members.
Now, Rick, if somebody was interested from looking at real estate internationally, how do you guys play with that?
Well, Ackerman is, you know, one of the bigger commercial firms, and we've been here 50 years in Atlanta. We actually built Tower Place, et cetera. So everybody knows us for commercial office space, medical, retail, and things.
Right.
And in the United States, we all do business. If you went to New York or California, it's not that much different, and you have the basis of how to do business, and you're looking for the square footage. Working with the international companies, it's a lot different. The company that comes from Germany, for example, the way they do business in Germany is a little different than the way we do business here. And again, the biggest divide is the cultural. So in addition to showing them the square footage, I have to understand what they're manufacturing or what they're trying to distribute. It makes a big difference if you put that in McDonough or you put that in Buckhead or if you put that up in North Atlanta. And the right location comes from what market they're trying to reach. And that takes some experience. The other thing is they're going to need help from an accountant to understand our taxes and capital gains and sales tax in America is absolutely insane. It's city by city, county by county. You got to, you know, withhold it, then you got to pay it, et cetera. They really don't get that. But the accountant...
There's a few of us on this side of the pond that don't get it so well either.
The accountant you hook them up with not only has to understand that all in America, he's got to understand German capital gains and German income tax and German, et cetera. So you have to have a bicultural, usually bilingual accountant. Now take that to the phone system. Take that to all our regulations and their regulations.
You're scaring the hell out of me, Rick.
Take that to the wife has got to get a driver's license, okay? Right. Businesses rarely fail because of the expert they bring from that country to sell here. It's because he's going crazy because he doesn't know how to get a business license. He doesn't know how to get the wife a driver's license. The kids are in the wrong school because our schools are considerably different than international schools, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I'm not saying Ackerman does every one of those things, but in the international section, we are very, very sensitive to all those needs through the World Trade Center, Metro Chamber, other places, all the international sections. We have the trusted service partners to put together that complete package as much or little as they want and have them have a soft landing here. And usually through those trusted service partners, we can promote their products broader than they can actually do it themselves.
So what's next for you guys? How do you get into get more of those international companies coming here and helping them?
Well, I would love to work more with the Dutch. I actually just met them today. There are 63 consuls general.
You're welcome.
Thank you. There are 63 consuls general in Atlanta between official consul generals, honorary consul generals. I think now there's 32 different chambers of commerce international.
36,
forgive me, in Atlanta. And I don't believe that includes, like, the Chinese Business Association of Atlanta. You think they're an important one, you know?
Right.
And, you know, the trick and the hard part I've got is theoretically you want to engage all of them, but there's not enough hours in the day.
Yeah.
That, again, coming back to Lilly and the World Trade Center, is where they come into play because they will do multinational events where
such
I get to...
Yes. October 4th, 2012.
The Governor's Awards.
Yes, Governor's. I'm sorry, Rick. I just need to say it. And you know, the most remarkable.
She's very cute, too.
October 4th, 2012, from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m., Governor's International Awards and Atlanta Showcase is going to happen. And all the consulates are going to be present, and they will have their representations there. And then we're going to feature the top companies in Georgia, which brought a lot of growth and development and support to the economy of Georgia. I recommend strongly that you please just mark your calendar and let
me know.
All
the movers and shakers and John Dixon.
Yes, right. Who is who of international community is going to be there? Sorry, Rick.
Let me put in a pitch also for Lilly. I've met her in Barcelona and Istanbul and many countries around the world. Recently we met in Atlanta. But she's always promoting Atlanta everywhere she goes and very powerfully. She's tough. And she's a great ambassador for this city and for the businesses.
Yes,
here,
we're very appreciative of her efforts here. She's doing a great job of getting word out. Now, why don't we go around the room and let each of you give the coordinates, best way to get a hold of you and to learn more about what you guys are up to. I want to start with you, John.
I'm with the World Trade and Development Group is my company, and that's worldtradepartnership.com.
Mm-hmm. And Rick?
I'm with Ackerman & Company. I'm the Vice President of International. It's www.ackermanco.net, ACKERMANCO.net. Sometimes, unfortunately, if the phone rings, they don't realize there's an international section. So you can reach me at RWORONIECKI@ackermanco.net or 770-331-9324, which does ring all around the world, I've found out.
Cool.
Now, Lilia, why don't you give the coordinates for the World Trade Center?
Yes, www.wtcatlanta.com. And please remember, if you want to meet the world and if you wanted to expand locally as well, we are the place for you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks all of our guests. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton, another great edition of Atlanta Business Radio's international show.